Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for this day. We just ask that we would keep your love for us center and focused today, that we'd realize, Lord, how much you gave, Lord, so that we could have the gift of eternal life, so that we could have the gift of abundant life. Lord, we just receive by faith, Lord, everything that you have for us today and in our future. We receive by faith right now. We just ask, Lord, that you would lead and guide, direct this service. Let your perfect will be done. Let your plans and purposes be established here today. Allow our hearts, Lord, to link and connect with you in a supernatural way so that we're fully transformed to the image of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I rest on His unchanging grace.
last week we were talking about the reality of where the kingdom of God is, where God is, and that he's not out there somewhere far away, but that he's right inside of each and every one of us, and that we have access to him. We have a doorway in our heart to him. And I just want us to, when we sing this one more time, to realize that maybe it's hard for us to say that he's all that we want because of the other things going on in our lives. I know when I sing that sometimes I think, you're all I want. I mean, I have other things that, you know, I desire, but preeminently over what seems to be life's needs and maybe even things, he is the one that will only fulfill this deep desire in our hearts, this need for, I would call it, a reason to be. Because before I knew Christ, I really didn't have a reason to be. I really didn't know what the reason for life was. I remember before I came to the Lord, the Holy Spirit was starting to stir my heart, and I kind of looked up into the stars, and I just thought to myself, there's got to be more to life than just life. There's got to be more to life than just getting up, cleaning yourself off, taking a shower again, getting dressed and going to work or going to school at the time I was going to, and then after school going to back to work. But it just seemed like it was a cycle that I was in that did not have an ending. Except for the endings that I was putting, you know, I wanted things, I wanted, you know, to acquire wealth and all these things that I thought would be some kind of fulfillment. But he's the one that brings fulfillment. And he is the one that is near. He is the one that's so close that our breath connects with him when we breathe. I don't know if you've ever had anybody get in your face and they breathe in your face. I mean, it's like that's invading your space. But he invades our space all the time. We just need to realize it and allow his nearness to be awakened in our hearts. So that when we sing, "You're all I want," it goes beyond our natural want. It goes deep into who he's made us to be. You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I want. Help me know you love me. fear. I said, help me know you are near. Just thinking of those words again. I have a tendency to do that. When we sing songs, I've tried to make it so that I let them speak to my heart. Instead of just singing the songs to, you know, get through the worship service. Check, we did that. Finished worship, yay. Right? Instead of trying to make them something that challenges me, something that speaks to me, so that requires a response.
In the middle, we should be over here.
I don't know. Oh, we should be over here. Okay, well, let's do it. It'll tip over? Oh, yeah, the boat will tip over.
Oh, brother.
After these guys did such a great job of setting it up, we're moving it now. Thank you. Like a few people already getting their Super Bowl on this morning.
Mm-hmm. Gotta start with it.
Right there. The Patriots, they're there again.
And the Rams. Didn't the Patriots win last year?
No. They lost. But they're
they were in it last year.
Oh, they've been in it more than they've been out of it.
Patriots and the Rams?
Yeah.
Where are the Rams from? And you're not.
So you're going to be voting for the Rams? who's the?
Cooper Cup.
Cooper Cup?
He played for Davis. He played for Wilson, then he played for Davis, and then he in college he played for Eastern, and he got drafted.
Oh, wow. So is he offense or defense?
He's a receiver. He's offense.
And he's like a major player there? Oh, he's injured, so he won't play? Oh, man. That's kind of a bummer. Yeah. Even the water boy gets a ring, I guess, right? We're all winners on this team.
Glad you like that one, Zeke.
I guess so.
In that case, I need
I watch the game, so I root for them. Why should get a Super Bowl
ring? I eat
ring?
In front of the television.
Yeah. At least a pinky ring.
No? Yeah, there you go. Praise the Lord. So, last week, we started part one, and we didn't finish, did we?
No.
So, let's go ahead and go back to...
To where?
Oh, hang on. Since everybody was here last week, except me. No, I was here. I was just incognito. Here we go. We'll start from here, where it's been highlighted.
Is this the beginning?
Yeah. So do you want to go ahead and read it? Well, no. Yeah, this is the beginning, but this is you don't remember that? This. Yeah, I went to around... The seventh or eighth slide, because it's highlighted a little bit. Here, you want to read from here?
Hold on.
She's catching up. There it is. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, but we didn't do...
But we will.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here you go.
I was trying to get us back to where we start from.
John 7, 1 through 18. Am I reading the whole thing or just the first, just this slide?
Just go ahead and read to right where we were. Because we read the whole thing. Okay, just go ahead and start reading. I'll tell you when to stop.
Okay, John 7, 1 through 18, ESV, which is English Standard Version.
Something like that, yeah.
After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you're doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee, but after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. And the Jews were looking for him at the feast, saying, "Where is he?" And there was much muttering about him among the people. While some said he is a good man, others said, "No, he is leading the people astray." Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews, therefore, marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood."
Very good. Okay, so I think we got to verse around 8, where it says, "You go up to the feast. I'm not going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come." We talked about how Jesus' time was fully come when he came into the earth, but his time fully came when he died. That was the fulfillment of his mission, where his death then took the place for what we should have been punished for and died for. And then it says after this, he remained in Galilee. We don't know for how long. We know the feast is seven days long. So sometime a day or so maybe. But after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. And we talked a little bit last week about how Jesus was fulfilling the will of the Father, and he was being led by the Spirit. He didn't do anything unless he heard and saw that the Father doing that. And so he wasn't doing things autonomously, you know. If he did something, it's because God the Father wanted him to do it, or God's desire for him was to do it. So he then shows up, but what ends up happening here, and I don't think we got to 11, the Jews were looking for him at the feast and saying, "Where is he?" And it's interesting, they're not saying, "Where's Jesus?" Mm-hmm. You know, like, "Where is he?" It's almost like it's almost like they were saying, like, "Shouldn't he be here? You know, where's this teacher? This is a major feast. Like, where is he? This is like not like him to not show up for a major feast." And so they were kind of starting to mock. And notice this, the Jews. Now, we talked a little bit about there's times that it says the people. And the Jews, in this particular passage, are the ones who I would consider the religious Jews who were against Jesus because he was messing with their stuff. He was coming in and saying that it was okay to heal on the Sabbath. And they were saying, "No, it's not okay to heal on the Sabbath because you're working." And later on in this chapter, we will find out that he even communicates to them how they'll do things on the Sabbath because in their mind, they're doing it to fulfill the law. But in essence, they're still breaking their own Sabbath. So that was an interesting spot. So let's go ahead and look at this part. "And there was much muttering about him among the people. While some said he is a good man, others said, 'No, he is leading the people astray.'" So these aren't the Jews. These are the normal folks. These would be the churchgoers back then, you know. The leaders were the ones that says we're kind of mocking, where is he? He should be here. This is a major feast. But the people are saying, well, you know, he's a good man. You know, he's done great things. He's displayed, you know, the power of a prophet by communicating, you know, as a prophet. And I mean, all these things that they were probably looking for in Messiah to be fulfilled. But others said, no, he is leading the people astray. So even within the people, the normal folks, there was division. There was the individuals who at least knew that he was doing good. And then there were other ones who said, no, he's not doing good. He's actually creating deception. He's leading people astray. You know, the thing is that, and what I want to point out here is that as you walk your walk with the Lord, and you do the things that he's calling you to do, and you're fulfilling what he's put on your heart to do, and that you have seen in the Word, and that Holy Spirit is putting on your heart, sometimes it's going to be a division for people because they're not going to relate with what your understanding is. And you know, I've kind of gone through that, you know, where I have gone through the idea of churchianity, I'm going to call it, where my faith was wrapped up in my connection to the ministry, right, and connection to church service and connection to teaching myself or having God teach me as I was reading his word. You know, that's the way I would say it. And then that I needed to teach others. And it ended up becoming my identity. And even though all those things in themselves are not bad, studying, ministering, all those what would be considered church activities. But what ended up happening is that I came to the revelation that I knew God based upon my application with the service of ministry. And not that I didn't know him, you know, as my Savior and my Lord and all that, but it lacked a level of intimacy that only he could reveal that I was suffering from. Because up to that point, I thought everything was all good, you know. I mean, if the sermon was lively and people were excited, and, you know, or if the ministry that we did looked like it brought results, you know, I would get a joy in my heart, and then that was my intimacy with God. That was my level of intimacy with God. But as the Lord revealed to me my lack and my need for him, then I ended up becoming more of a, what's what I want to say, person that some could say were like misleading, because now I'm saying, well, it's not about those things. It's about knowing him. Like Paul said, you know, everything else that I've done, I count as rubbish. You know, all the training, all the stuff, you know, that he had been through, even all the tribulations that he went through as an apostle of Christ, he counted all that as rubbish. And I would say even all the ministry works, you know, I counted it as lack compared to knowing Christ and knowing the fellowship of his suffering and knowing him intimately. And it was hard for me to relate to that back then. But now I relate to it even more, because what I want is a real relationship with him. I want a relationship with God like I have a relationship with you, where I know your heartbeat. I know what makes you tick, and I know what would please you. And I know, not that you can't get that from just the word and follow, you know, a certain standard, moral code, but going beyond that, I wanted to know what do you want to do today? Mm-hmm. What are you saying today, Lord? What's the word today? Mm-hmm. And I'm still working on this family. I'm still working on how do I come to this place of what Jesus had with the Father. Because I don't believe it was meant just for Jesus. I think it was meant for all of us.
Right.
And that for whatever reason, we have strayed from it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not known about it to the place where we could try to engage with it. I can see wheels are turning.
Oh yeah, wheels are really turning.
But, I didn't know I was going to go here today.
That's
but.
Okay. But there was ramifications of you going more intimate with the Lord. There were consequences that came from that.
Mm-hmm.
And the personal consequences were good for him, but the public consequences were hard by other people's standards. And we have to not care what man says and thinks. We have to get to that point where we are doing what we know God is saying for us to do. There's going to be muttering, mumbling, complaining, griping, anything you want to call it, however you want to term it. Philippians 2:4 says, do everything without complaining. But the church hasn't, I don't think the church has learned that scripture very well, because we do a lot of muttering. We do a lot of complaining. We do a lot of when things aren't going the way we think that they should go. And we have opinions of why we think things are the way they are. So, there is a price to pay for intimacy with God.
Yeah.
And we have to be willing to pay it, or we're going to be the same old that we always have been. And we've already figured out that does not really work.
And frankly, the world in this time that we're in, is not looking for churchianity. They're not looking for another level of rules to follow. They're especially this younger generation, they're going to be looking for relationship. They're going to be looking for, even though they're seemingly trying to connect, you know, via devices, in their heart of hearts, they want something real. They want something solid. And they may not know it yet, but when they find it, when they find something real, when they find a true relationship, when they find the one that has been looking for them the whole time to turn to them, they'll realize that they have arrived. Just as in the day that I realized I had arrived, I realized that when I came to Christ, after I had said, you know, what, there's got to be more to life than life. It was a few months later that I came to Christ. My eyes were opened and I realized that there was more to life than life. And there was more to life than just living. There was life was about getting and becoming something after life. That eternal life became my goal, my vision, I guess you could say what I was desiring still to this day, you know, because I know that this is but for a moment, a breath, and that it's preparing us for the next breath,
right.
The next engagement with God in a deeper level.
Some of us are back at verse 5, though.
Oh, we're back at verse 5?
No, some of us are back at verse 5.
Oh, some of us, okay.
In our lives, where it says, not even his brothers believed in him. I mean, we want people to believe in us. We want people to be there for us. We want support. We want to be people to be pleased with who we are.
And validated. Mm-hmm.
And this is a line by line, precept upon precept of how it really should be about our relationship with God. And if we can't get past the point where we're going to, you know, understand that there will be some people, even in our own families, that don't believe in us. And we be okay with that. Not to the point where we're okay that it doesn't grieve us that they're not where they could be in God. But to the point where it doesn't stop us from doing what God says to do. And we have to be able to get past that point. And God is saying, it's time to move on. It's time to come past, you know, caring what people think of you. You know, at some point, it's not going to matter to you what people think of you. Bob?
And Jesus said that even those in your, that there's going to be division between mother and daughter.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we had that about a month ago, that very verse, right?
Yeah.
That your choice for me is going to potentially create conflict in your family because ones will be against you.
Right.
And especially then because they were becoming Christians and they were in Jewish households. And, you know, you're now saying that this Jesus, this babbler, this one that everybody's muttering about, this one that died and was crucified, now you're going to follow him and you're leaving in their eyes, the Jewish faith. You know, it's no different than a Muslim when they give their heart to the Lord. I mean, they're potentially a death wish, you know, and it's happened. They've been publicly taken out into the square and beheaded because they chose Christ. Now, what am I trying to say here with all this? I'm trying to say that there is a way that we can walk where we are pleasing men. But what did we learn on Wednesday night? It's a snare. It's a trap. And even if it's your brothers and sisters, even if it's those that you fellowship with, but they're not agreeing with what God is doing in you. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember some of the individuals that left. I mean, they literally said, you know, you are an amazing pastor. We love you. We love you guys. I mean, we absolutely love you guys. But we can't stay because of what was happening inside of me. Now, did I make all the right choices? No, because I was extremely hungry back then for something that I thought was readily attainable. I thought it was right there. I thought, okay, all I have to do is, in a way, I churched it. I tried to make it happen instead of just entering into what's called rest and just let God work out the details like I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. Hungering and desiring for more, but realizing the results are up to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can get to that place, it'll take a big monkey off your back. If you realize that if your desire is meeting his equipping, then what works out of that will be his will and his timetable. But I wanted a timetable like right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I want all that you have for me, Lord, and I want it right now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, son, you couldn't even handle it. You can barely handle my love. Then I remember when I first realized that, wait, I'm loved. Doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter if I'm a pastor. Doesn't matter if I make mistakes. I was just loved. And I remember I was going around for there a while and I was saying, I'm the pastor that Jesus loves. Because I got the revelation where John says, the disciple that Jesus loved. John was able to lay on Jesus' breast just because he knew he was loved and accepted. All the other ones are like, dude, what's he doing? It's like, you know, he's the rabbi, he's the teacher, and how can you be that close? Because he just knew he was loved. And so because he was loved, it was like he was laying on his father's chest. Mm-hmm. There was that level of intimacy.
Right.
But if I couldn't barely even handle the idea that I was loved, how could I handle the glories of God?
Right.
You know, it's almost like, Dad, you have some really good guns in there. You know, this is your 10-year-old, you know, and I've seen you out shooting and stuff. Can you let me have the AK and go out with my friends? No, son. Why not? You go out with your friends and, yeah, but I know what I'm doing with it, you know. But do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, the disciples were kind of in that way, you know, where they said, Lord, we saw somebody casting out, a demon, you know, and they were using your name. And, you know, it's like, do you want us to call down fire on them? What? You guys don't even know what spirit you're of. You can't be working the works of God and not be part of me. But they couldn't get that. They thought, well, we're the tribe right here. We're the only ones that can use the name of Jesus. But obviously, the power of Christ was already being spread about, and people were casting out demons in his name before he went to the cross that weren't necessarily part of their group.
Right.
I don't know if that's where it said fire. I think that was when a town rejected him, and they said. But still, they were like getting upset that somebody else was using his name. But they did say, when a town rejected him, do you want us to call down fire on them like Elijah did? Guys, you don't know what spirit you're of. And they weren't ready for the kind of power.
Yeah.
You know?
Just like the 10-year-old wasn't ready for that AK.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. My point being is that, what is my point? My point being is that there is a work that the Lord is doing in us, all of us. And it's a very deep work.
Mm-hmm.
And it may cause some to say, he's a good man.
Yeah.
And others may say, no, you're leading people astray. But if you are following the word of the Lord and his Holy Spirit inside of you, and you are yielding to the work of God, that's the integrity of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to do things to the integrity of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have a lot of denominations now, because there was things that came up. Now, obviously, when they split over, you know, how the offering was taken and all that stuff that, you know,
they were just looking for
how the toothpaste was squeezed in the middle, and people wanted it rolled from the end. It's been about that silly that we've had some denominations, but there have been ones that have been over huge issues. Martin Luther, listen, you can't buy salvation. It's a free gift.
Yeah.
It's only received by faith. Because back then, there were people that were paying the Catholic Church a certain amount of money, and it was basically, yep, you're going to be okay. You don't have to go to hell because you've paid enough. What? Martin Luther says, this has got to end.
Mm-hmm.
People paying for the best seats in the house, you know? It's just not the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that God will speak to our hearts, and we'll have to come to a level of accountability to him and not necessarily the desires of man. And that doesn't mean they're wrong. See, that's another thing. You can start pointing out, well, they didn't get it. They're wrong. No, they're on a journey just like you were. And it might have been you 5 years before last week that would have said, that's not right. But God led you into what he wanted you in.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just
does this make sense, or am I? I did not plan this, but Holy Spirit evidently, yeah. We might get through this part one again. He planned it, exactly. Oh, 13. Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him. So again, because of the religious leaders, the people were silent. Because of what they thought others would think about them, they kept quiet about him. Even the ones who thought he was a good man, even the ones who in their mind, could this be Messiah? They would not speak because they were afraid of others judging them. Let's not get caught up in this trap. Let's not get caught up in when we know something is right and it's what God desires for us. Let's be willing to communicate it, no matter what the consequences may be. So about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. So we know it was about the middle of the feast that he showed himself. First he went there, and it sounds like he was just observing. Or praying, we don't know. But in the middle of the feast, probably about day 3.5, Jesus shows up. And it says here, the Jews therefore marveled, saying, how is it that this man has learning when he has never studied? The Jews, the religious leaders. So he must have been teaching some really good stuff, because he was blowing them away with the wisdom of God. Because he was the Word. He was the Logos from the very beginning. And so all of God's communications were inside of him. And so can you imagine what that allowed him to teach those individuals if they had ears to hear? But the Jewish leaders, all they did was look with their natural eyes and said, how does he know this? Where did he get this information? He is not studied. He wasn't in those schools like we were. He was, you know, hammering a piece of wood somewhere. How can he know this stuff? Instead of saying, whoa, this is amazing. They were looking a gift horse in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. He was showing them up. That's why.
He wasn't doing it to show them up. He was just being who he was.
The intention was not that, but that's the way they took it.
He was messing with their stuff.
Yeah. Messing with their stuff.
So I like this. This is where we'll end. So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. What? I don't think so. Because I think it's very clear that if you believe him by faith, you'll follow his commandments. And they didn't want anything to do with his commandments. They wanted the law of Moses. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't even know if they wanted the law of Moses, because in other places he says, you're not even following the law of Moses. What they wanted was power. Mm-hmm. And it came down to that. The Jewish leaders, the Jews, wanted power. They wanted to control the people. And when that happens, when the church is about controlling the circumstances or the situation or the people, then what's happened is that then the Spirit of God is being usurped. Because the Spirit of God is the one that leads the church. Mm-hmm. Supposed to.
He's supposed to.
He is supposed to be the gift that was given to us, mm-hmm. so that we can be empowered, all of us, not just one person, not just a staff, all of us to be empowered to become like Jesus, mm-hmm. and to minister that ability to others. An evangelist isn't just to let people know about the gospel. Evangelist is let people know about what the gospel has done for them. Mm-hmm. So the gospel isn't just so that they can get saved and go to heaven and not go to hell. The gospel is Christ dying, becoming us, so that then we had access into the very godliness, the righteousness of God. That it's not our right standing, it's his righteousness that then we have. That's what it, and then the evangelist communicates what that means in their life. I mean, if you look at it, the works that come out of the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, is all about equipping the saints, mm-hmm. not so they can just go out and do ministry, but so that they could be who God's called them to be, mm-hmm. like Jesus. And then if we're like Jesus, ministry follows. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be trained to do ministry if you're like Jesus. It just comes out of you.
Yeah.
It's a natural byproduct, mm-hmm. of intimacy.
I love that.
Yeah. So Jesus answered, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. So if someone in that place knew what God's will was, they would be hearing Christ from the Father. Mm-hmm. They would be hearing him as an ambassador of the Father.
Right.
They would know that he's not just speaking as Jesus, you know, the rabbi, Joseph's, you know, the carpenter's son. He would be speaking as a very emissary of the Father. Mm-hmm. And they would know where his teaching came from. Mm-hmm. They would know that it didn't just come from man.
Right.
I don't think many people were on this page. They just could not get the fact of who he was. Mm-hmm. Part of it because it says that their eyes were blinded. And I don't quite understand all that. And their ears could hear, but they couldn't understand. I know the final outcome of that is so that they would reject him, and that you and I would then be grafted in to this ability to have the love of God in our hearts. Mm-hmm. But Jesse and I were talking a little bit before service about a religious teaching that has kind of gotten resurrected a little bit with the Da Vinci Code, and it's called Gnosticism. And he was kind of telling me what they believe, because I thought they were just very intellectual and that they used, you know, their mind to figure out God. Well, Jesse was telling me what they believe. I said, I had no idea. But because we are looking for the will of God and following the will of God, when we hear it, we immediately say, well, that's not right. And, you know, some would say, well, that's because you guys are so sourced in the Word. But I'm here to tell you that I believe any child of God seeking, because I've had this happen to me when I didn't know the Bible. People were trying to lead me astray. And something inside me said, that's not right.
Mm-hmm. So what is it? Can you explain?
Oh, Gnosticism? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you basically look, what? Real quickly?
I think I can summarize it.
Try to summarize it. Oh, yeah. That's a bad thing. Right.
And God's not like us.
No, he's a spirit, number one. He's spirit.
Pure love. Yeah. So
yeah, truth.
Gnosticism is making God in our image. It boils down to that.
Wow. Okay. That's well said. So Gnosticism, for those of you on the internet, because you know you didn't hear that, is and this is according to our amazing sound man. I won't say his name for so I
Jesse
keep him
Morales.
Safe. And I yeah, don't you said it.
Oh no.
It's now gone out on the internet. Anyway, is where yeah, if I can get it right, is where man has tried to put the character and nature of man upon God. In an effort to figure him out.
Yeah.
Or let's say this. Because they could not figure out. Because his ways were higher than their ways. And his thoughts were higher than their thoughts. They had to come up with some way to understand how God worked. And so
that last sentence was really powerful that he said.
And what was that?
The Gnosticism is to make God in their image instead of to make man in God's image.
There you go.
To make God in man's image. It's switching it.
Yeah, see, I missed that part. I mean, I heard it, but...
It didn't click.
Well, I was trying to... maybe eventually would have got there in a half hour, but yeah, it would have taken a while. And then you would have had to explain it like you just did, so... The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. This is a key. When we are operating on our own abilities, when we're operating on our own strength, when we're operating on our own experiences, and we're operating on our own ability to know God's word or his teachings or whatever it would be, someone else's teachings they've put into us, you're in your own glory. And that's a bad thing, because that own glory is what's lacking in the body of Christ. Because if we were operating in God's glory, well, sickness and disease wouldn't have any place, number one, in our midst. That it would just not have any room.
Right.
The lost would be attracted to us because the light that was emanating from us, just like with Jesus. The love that we would display would be a draw for those who felt as if no one loved them. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Now this is Jesus, but we can follow these same principles. We can seek the glory for God, where we're not seeking it for our own self. And that takes introspection, because it's easy to get caught up in desiring our own glory, our own appeal by others, where we get the accolades of men, very much like the same opposite, but in the same kind of way, want to be man pleasers. We want men to notice what we know or what we've done. And the problem is, when we do that, we're in our own authority and we're in our own glory. And guess what? There's falsehood in us. Because the truth can't stand in a vessel that does not have humility. Right? Because truth goes beyond, I would say this, even natural understanding.
Because it's an illuminator.
It's illuminator, yeah. And when we've used our own reasoning and our own understanding to do whatever, whether it's to, you know, be a Christian or to live a life for God. If we're using our own understanding, leaning on our own understanding, we're in falsehood. Because we cannot do it ourselves. This is why having an intimate, real relationship with Him is such a key. And especially for the time that we're in. Do you know that anybody can get on the computer now and probably within 45 minutes know all the major things that you believe? 45 minutes. Just by reading through a Wikipedia and then they can see the good side and the bad side. Knowledge is abundant. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can read, and which is awesome. You can read the early church fathers now, just going online, and you can read like from, you know, the first century on, and you can have access to some of those teachings, and they're great. But what I'm trying to say is that knowledge is so abundant that just knowing things anymore isn't enough. Mm-hmm. Just teaching what we know isn't enough. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to impart supernatural life.
Yeah.
We're going to have to impart the power of heaven to folks. Mm-hmm. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we're not operating in our own strength,
right,
our own authority. Thus, why we need to be so intimate with God. Because it's not going to come from our past experiences, the way that we used to do things. It's only going to come from face to face, heart to heart, true fellowship. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
What? See anyone? Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, there's a lot of knowledge out there on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
We have to be very careful not led astray because a lot of it's not true.
Right.
So we have to know our Bible from cover to cover to make sure it lines up with the Bible.
And we have to be operating in the spirit of truth. Because there's people that could say the same verse that you're saying to say one thing, they'll use it to say another. And they'll say, we know the Bible from cover to cover. Mm-hmm. But they're not submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The devil knows the Bible.
From cover to cover. Mm-hmm. Yep, he knows. Oh, yeah.
Spirit of truth.
So,
the truth will set you free.
We have to spend time with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of our life is out in this world, and we're just, rubbing elbows with all this worldly stuff, and it's bombarding us. And if we don't spend a lot of time with the Lord, if we're not in constant contact, it says pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
We can't walk around praying all the time, but we can have that attitude that we know that He is with us.
That's the key right there.
Closer to brother, and He's the friend that we ignore the most. Sad to say.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is what we have to learn to do is abide in Him. Mm-hmm. The Bible talks about abiding and resting and dwelling in Him. Now, that doesn't negate you know, spending time in his word or seeking him during, you know, times of worship. But we can have an abiding presence of God, but it takes an acknowledgement of him. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, whatever we do, he's always there.
Yeah.
We're never without him. He'll never leave us or forsake us.
Yeah.
So, but like that song says, help me know mm-hmm. you are near.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to have a friend come over. Well, maybe some of us, but hardly any of us are going to have a friend come over and invite him in the door, set him down, and then, you know, especially a guest, and then just walk away and then go back to just our chores, have dinner. He's going to sit there, just ignore that the guest is even there. And it's like, you know, hopefully we'll acknowledge him periodically, at least if we were busy, you know. Can I get you a cup of coffee or, you know, or how, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, but we tend to do that with God. We tend to just forget that he's our guest.
Yeah.
And he's always there.
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, we just ask that you would, as we said earlier, help us know that you're near.
Yes.
And that the truth that is you, that you are the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, that you are the way, Lord, and the very life that we need, Lord, that we would acknowledge that on a more regular basis, that you're there, that you're near, and that because of that, Lord, we can know you closely, we can know you intimately, and we can, Lord, allow ourselves to desire your will over our will, that we can yield and surrender, Lord, to your purposes and plans for our lives, Lord, instead of our own desires. And as we do that, Lord, we can become more like you. We can become light. We can become the light of the world, as you said we are. That we could become that city that is bright and leads others, Lord, out of dark crevices and into your light. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our day, what you're doing in our lives. I pray for all those, Lord, who are away, some due to sicknesses, some, Lord, due to just family trips and doing things with their family. Lord, I ask you to bless them. Allow them to experience, Lord, your presence in a deeper way this week. And Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to reveal yourself to us, each and every one of us, Lord, in the way and the desire, Lord, that you want to, so that we can become who you want us to be, so that we can be transformed to be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
So I have something I want to say, just one statement. The world is not attracted to us because of what we know. They're attracted to us because of who we know.
Mm.
And so the spirit is the attracting factor. So if someone sees something in us and then the world comes to us, if we're just feeding them a line, they're going to know it. And they're going to be like, that's not what attracted me in the first place. So don't think that your knowledge of God, even though it's important, is what is the attracting factor. It's who you know, not what you know. So remember that when someone comes to you, because they may not need anything more than the love of God. And you can't tell them so much as show them the love of God. You can tell them God loves them, and that's good, but I'm just saying, by what we do, they will know that we're his
mm-hmm.
and that he is ours.
Amen. Praise the Lord.